On Tuesday, Najib Mikati, a billionaire and Harvard graduate, was sworn in as Lebanon's new prime minister amid protests around the nation. On Wednesday, the sometimes violent protesters turned to daily sit-ins in downtown Beirut as the nation remained locked in political turmoil. Much of the previous day's actions took place in the northern city of Tripoli by Sunni supporters of ousted Prime Minister Saad Hariri. Lebanon's government collapsed on January 12th after 11 ministers from the Hezbollah party withdrew. Tensions had been rising between Sunni-backed Saad Hariri and the Shiite-backed Hezbollah in anticipation of a report on the 2005 assassination of Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, Saad's father. Hezbollah has long opposed the UN-backed tribunal investigating the murder, contending that it was preparing to unfairly accuse them of the crime. Saad Hariri, who has the support of the US and many of its Western allies, refused to block or denounce the investigation and report. The tribunal's findings were issued in a sealed indictment on January 17th, but have not been made public. Hariri and his supporters are calling the change in government a coup d'etat. The AP reports that Hezbollah-backed Prime Minister Mikati has been accused of being a religious ally of Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Mikati has called for calm and a unity government. The U.S. reaction has been measured. At a press conference on Wednesday held jointly with the Jordan's foreign minister, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said the U.S. hoped the new government is formed according to the desires of the Lebanese people and not, quote, outside forces. My guest is Jackson Allers. He's a reporter living in Lebanon, and we're trying to reach him right now. Welcome, Jackson Allers. Are you with us?
I am with you.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we've been covering what's happening in other parts of the Arab world, specifically Egypt and also Tunisia. But what's happening in Lebanon is a little bit different. How do you explain to an American audience what Lebanon's current state of affairs is, particularly as it relates to the highest levels of government and the recent collapse of the government?
Well, where to begin? It is a very different situation than the situations in Tunisia and Egypt and Algeria and Yemen, in the sense that Lebanon as a country is very different in makeup. It's not the clear autocratic rule that exists in the Maghreb and in Yemen and in Egypt. It's a very sectarian system, a very diverse system, both religiously and politically. So that's a huge difference right there. And in regards to how it's sort of the discontent of the youth as it's playing out in these other countries compared to here, they're all experiencing the same types of poverty. And they're all experiencing the same types of neglect, both governmentally and otherwise. And the unemployment rates in all of these countries, Lebanon included, are at astronomical levels, especially in the age groups of 15 to 24, which are the largest populations of each of these countries. But in Lebanon, let's say specifically, what's happening here is very different because you have a much more nuanced, much more, let's say there are lots of different players that are controlling the country here in Lebanon. And it's not just one sort of autocratic ruler that's dealing with all of the manifestations of government. You have the Sunnah, you have the Shia, you have the Druze, you have all of the different sects that are competing for power here, and all are going through different kinds of political alignment. What has happened recently in Lebanon with the walking out of the so-called opposition candidates, not candidates, but the opposition political parties led by Hezbollah, but certainly not solely a Shia Muslim opposition. It definitely has a large Christian contingent. And now one of the former members of the so-called March 14th coalition, which was the Western-backed coalition that Saad Hariri, the prime minister who's been ousted, was the leader of, Wali Jamblat of the Druze, who is the leader of the Progressive Socialist Party, the PSP. He, over the last year and a half or 2 years, has seen that the balance of power has been shifting away from the March 14th Western-backed alliance towards the Syrian-Iranian-backed March 8th coalition that is Hezbollah led, and he was the deciding factor, or as they're calling him, the kingmaker in the picking of the new prime minister that succeeded the ousted Saad Hariri. So what's happening now in Lebanon is very different than the rest of the countries politically.
And how have ordinary Lebanese been reacting to all of this? Are there major demonstrations on the streets, or because of Lebanon's differences in its government, people are watching how the political process plays out?
Well, the Lebanese are no stranger to political upheaval, to assassination, to civil or internecine conflict. It's a much more active place politically, and it's a much more, let's say, armed populace than the rest of the other countries that are currently experiencing civil unrest. That makes the process here much more tenuous when let's say that there is political instability. Certainly what has happened over the last 15 years has the as far as weapons are concerned, no one can compete with Hezbollah as a militia or as a guerrilla movement. But that's not really what's at stake here per se. I think what Lebanon is really dealing with is, let's go straight to the heart of the matter, the reason that the March 8th coalition walked out was because there is a UN special tribunal to find the assassins and to try the assassins of former Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, who was killed in a massive car bomb in February of 2005 with 22 other people. And the March 8th coalition sees that process as being illegitimate and severely flawed, and had spent near 2 years trying to address that grievance with the current or with the former Western-backed March 14th coalition government. It was not addressed. Issues of false witnesses used by the international court to go about finding the people that they're going to ultimately indict. It was leaked in May 2009 by Der Spiegel, the German paper, that indeed the court would likely indict, they say, rogue members or members of Hezbollah. And over the last 2 years, that has been a process where Hezbollah and their alliance has questioned that process. And when it wasn't addressed properly, and even after a Saudi Syrian-led effort to make sure that if indictments came down, there wouldn't be sectarian strife, the March 8th coalition decided we've had enough. And strategically, the day that Saad Hariri walked into the Oval Office to meet with Obama to discuss the future of Lebanon and the tribunal itself, which the U.S. clearly endorses, has been a major proponent of, that's when the March 8th coalition decided to walk out of the government.
Well, Jackson, unfortunately, we're out of time. Jackson Allers is a reporter living in Lebanon trying to explain to us the situation there. For Sonali, Subversive Thought, Fedre Alexis de Tocqueville once said, in a revolution, as in a novel, the most difficult part to invent is the end.